The text is from the evangelist St. Mark, chapter 5, reading from the 35th verse. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talith kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends our text. People often say, "I don't know what to say at funerals." We can get some clue based on what Jesus says at the funeral in our text. The first of three statements Jesus makes is, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Fear always mounts in the face of death. Really, and perhaps rightly, we never grow much beyond that little boy or girl finding a dead bird for the first time. We can't get our head around that this person we just saw yesterday, we won't see today or the next or ever again like we once did every day. We fear what we can't understand. Fear also rises in our hearts because between us and death, there's only the beat of our heart. I think people spend a lot of time avoiding that thought. At a funeral, you can't. Everyone is gathered because there's been a death. So fear rushes in like a gangbuster. And the closer you are to the death, the harder and heavier fears come. Fear can reach an insanity pitch when loss is, as the case of Jairus, an only child. What does Jesus say at such a funeral as this? Don't be afraid. Jesus says that you don't have to go on being afraid. Death claims you're at its mercy. Death proudly marches into your life saying, "I can take anyone I please, and who I take, I never give back." Jesus says you don't have to be afraid of death. The facts, of course, would argue otherwise. Science would tell you, no, death is right. Once it has you, you're gone for good. Others would agree. Jesus does not. Jesus says at funerals, don't be afraid, just believe. Your faith is not to be based on what you can understand, what you can know, what you can feel, or what you think possible. It's based on Jesus and what he can do, has done, or promises. No one gets to heaven and hears Jesus say, "You shouldn't have believed in me so much. You had too much faith." How could that ever happen if, as Paul says, Jesus does far more than we ask or can even think? We wither in the face of death. It exposes that we're no more enduring than dust when it's all said and done. But Jesus isn't just dust, but the creator of dust itself. Death announces at this funeral, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Implying he can do nothing now. But what does Jesus do in the face of death's pronouncement? He ignores it. We can too. We can go by what Jesus says rather than what death proclaims. This was quite an intense funeral. Mark says people were crying and wailing loudly. Luke says all were weeping and bewailing her. Now, it's true. It was common to hire professional mourners. Even the poorest felt obligated to have a minimum of 2 flute players. Matthew reports them being present. However, the fact that professional mourners were there doesn't take away from the intensity of the grief, even as the presence of a professional funeral director doesn't diminish our grief. At this intense funeral, where grief is thick, heavy, and sharp since the death that just occurred, Jesus announces here and now, the child is not dead, but asleep. To us, death is a wide river, which we have no means to cross over and can't even see to the other side. Not to Jesus. To Jesus, death is a sleep, is a nap. The dead are no farther away from Jesus than the sleeping person is from us. Moreover, as easily as we can raise the sleeping, Jesus raises the dead. We use a gentle word and perhaps a touch to get the napper up, and that's how Jesus gets the dead up. Can you see why Jesus says you don't have to be afraid of death? Are you afraid of going to sleep? Do you panic when your loved one takes a nap? Even if you had a Rip Van Winkle who slept for 20 years, it would be because you let them. You might miss them, but you'd be assured of seeing them again and know that anytime you wished, you could wake them. This is Jesus' power over all the dead of all times. Anytime he wishes, he can raise them. On the last day, he will raise them all. That means the likes of Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, Steve McNair, and Ed McMahon will all rise. And this is where things get really interesting. But first, back to what Jesus says at funerals. He says, I say to you, get up. We confess in our catechism, on the last day he will raise me and all the dead. That's a powerful statement. Ecclesiastes says that no man has power over the day of his death. Yet we say that the man Jesus has power over the death of all men. The issue is not whether God can do it. Of course he can. The issue is whether the man Jesus can. Because only in Jesus is God's power and might safe for us. The second person of the Holy Trinity took on flesh and blood in the womb of the Virgin Mary. As true God, Jesus could not and would not have died. But by taking on our dust, he took on our being able to die. But death is the wage sin pays. Jesus had no sin. There was no reason for Jesus to die. He was innocent, even as Pontius Pilate 6 times declared. Jesus lived the perfect life. No one could point out one thing Jesus ever said or did wrong. Scripture says, though he was tempted in all ways, just as we are, nevertheless, even in his thoughts, he was without sin. Yet Jesus died. Jesus' soul separated from his body. Jesus' heart stopped beating, his lungs stopped breathing, and his blood stopped flowing. But death didn't take Jesus. Jesus gave himself to death for our sakes, in our place. Jesus died the death we all should fear, the death of a damned sinner. One without mercy, one heavy with guilt and shame. Imagine the few sins you do remember that can still bring guilt to your soul and color to your face. Imagine dying with the guilt and shame from just those few sins. Jesus died under a mountain of guilt and shame from a whole world of sins. Jesus rode our flesh and blood all the way into the grave. But because he was also true God, death could not swallow him. He only died because he pled guilty to our sins. Once he paid for them in full, death had no right to hold him. And as true God, not only couldn't death hold him, death had to spit him out. Where the divinity of Jesus goes, so goes our humanity. Because our human nature is forever joined to his divine nature through the Virgin's womb. Paul says succinctly, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone from Abel to Zapata will rise on the last day. But not everyone rises to everlasting life. Some, most, rise to everlasting death. What determines that is not what you hear on the last day, but on the day before it. Jesus speaks to sinners dead in their sins, I forgive you, and they rise. Sinners dead in their transgressions are no more moving his direction than the little girl in our text was. That little girl was stone cold dead. There were no brain waves. There was no blood flowing through her eardrum to transmit sound waves. She was dead as a doornail, dead as a rock. dead as can be. Yet Jesus spoke words to one who could not hear them, and those words converted her to life. You see the parallels between resurrection and absolution? Jesus speaks in both. In raising someone, Jesus speaks to the dead, and behold, they come to life physically. In forgiving someone, Jesus speaks to the dead in their sins, and behold, they come to life spiritually. On the last day, Jesus will speak his word of resurrection to all the dead, and all will come alive physically. Before the last day, he speaks a word of resurrection to very few. With the word of absolution, though, it's different. On the last day, it's not spoken at all. But before the last day, he speaks it to all. I ran too far ahead too fast. Let's back up. Jesus is recorded as raising only three dead people. In all three accounts, Jesus limits his word of resurrection. Here, it's little girl, I say to you, get up. At Nain, it's young man, I say to you, arise. At Bethany, Jesus raises by name, Lazarus, come forth. If Jesus had not been specific, then his word of resurrection would have raised all the dead within earshot. Think of that at Bethany. Jesus spoke in a graveyard. Had he not only spoken to Lazarus, all the dead would have come forth at once. St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that on the last day, Jesus will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and all the dead will rise. At that moment, what counts is not that word of resurrection calling all the dead, but whether a person has heard the word of absolution calling all those dead in their sins. All the dead, whether as famous as Michael Jackson or as obscure as the homeless, they're going to rise. But life only comes to those who heard and believed the word of absolution before they died. The word of resurrection is limited before the last day. As I said, Jesus is recorded as raising three, and Peter and Paul only one each. So it's not likely that you're going to be at a funeral where Jesus says, get up. However, the word of absolution is unlimited right up until the moment the last trumpet sounds. That word of absolution that sends away sins for Jesus' sake can be spoken to anyone dead in their sin and guilt, to anyone with no hope other than a long life here and a sudden entrance into the hereafter. You know that joke about what people want to hear at their funeral? One says, I want to hear that I was a good father. Another says, I want to hear that I defended my country. Still a third says, I want to hear that I lived a long, long life. Finally, one guy says, I want to hear, look, he's still breathing. That might be the next best thing to hearing Jesus say at your funeral, get up. But both are a far cry from hearing now, I forgive you. In Jesus' name. Because hearing that now determines what the pastor says at your funeral and Jesus says afterward. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.